all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Monday, February 27th. We are almost done with the month of February. It's another beautiful day on Lake Wissota for about the next 5 minutes. And then winter returns with a bit of a vengeance. There's a winter storm warning out for a large chunk of western, northwestern Wisconsin. We are going to get an update from weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vachitsky about the winter storm that's getting set to pound western parts of the state this morning. And she will have a weather outlook all across Wisconsin as we get set to start the new week. Hope you had a good weekend. And let's see what else we have coming up on the show today. Let's see. Let's start with Bigots Gonna Bigot. Middle-aged white guy host here on the radio has a few choice words for some other middle-aged white guys who seem to think it's racist when they don't get to be the boss of everything. I think that that's maybe the wrong approach for them to take, and one prominent white guy is finding out the consequences for that. We'll also visit with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and go over some entertainment news. And in our next hour, it's Motherhood Monday. Kate and Nicole of Motherhood for Good will have information on what busy moms should know about April's school board races, some of the buzzwords you're likely to hear, and what they really mean in the context of school board races. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell has three things you should know. And we will also have this. It's going to be a busy week. We will be hearing tomorrow from Jim Obergefell. If the name sounds a little familiar, it's because he's the guy on the Supreme Court decision, the Obergefell decision that legalized same-sex marriage in this country in 2015. We had a chance to talk to him last week, and we're playing excerpts from that tomorrow morning. We will talk to one of our Courier Newsroom colleagues in Michigan. Michigan legalized marijuana 4 years ago. Well, Wisconsin is a bit of an outlier among the upper Midwestern states that have done nothing to relax legal restrictions on marijuana. And consequently, the state isn't regulating it and the state isn't taxing it and deriving any of the benefits from that. Again, Michigan did it 4 years ago. So we'll ask them how it's gone. And our guest will talk about any good effects, bad effects, impacts on taxes, on life itself. So look for that. We're also scheduled to talk this week with the group Wisconsin Conservation Voters. I still think of them by their previous name, the League of Conservation Voters. But regardless, this is a group that we frequently hear about before the partisan elections in November, especially about, you know, which state legislators and other state level candidates have positions that are good for our natural resources and the ones that don't. They understand the importance of this spring election. It's a nonpartisan election, but these are still, you know, very important races for school boards, county boards, the state Supreme Court. And so they're making endorsements in these spring races, and we will talk to a representative about that as well. If you'd like to reach the show this morning, the numbers are 844-967-2789 and 715-388-7155. And our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Let's see. I want to get to a few things here before we get. Oh, we have a question of the week. That's right. There, let me take this one down, put this one up. There we go. Question of the week is going to come courtesy of our discussion with Christina Laurie. And in it, we ask her to give us some of the more uplifting news of the week. And then she has a question for us. What would be the best Girl Scout cookie right now? And if you could create any new flavor of Girl Scout cookie, what would it be? And as we'll hear from Christina a little bit later, it's Girl Scout cookie time. You're going to see some orders being taken as early as this week from Girl Scouts in your area, but you can also go to girlscoutcookies.org if you would like to order them online. It would still benefit Girl Scouts, of course. So consider that and consider what your favorite is and which one you'd create if you had the ability to do that. Let's take a look at sports here at 6:21 now on a Monday. Let's see, the Milwaukee Bucks, good news and bad news. The Bucks winning streak is now 14 games after beating Phoenix on Sunday, 104-101. But not all the news is good. Giannis Antetokounmpo did start on Friday in the Bucks' win against Miami. His wrist was no longer an issue, but he injured his right knee or his quad late in the first quarter, and he did not play on Sunday. So that gets, so we're back to day to day for a Bucks team that has been banged up all season. I don't know how often or how rarely the usual five starters have all been on the court together, but the Bucks will be playing again tomorrow at Brooklyn. They will take that 14-game winning streak in against the Nets. The Marquette men's basketball team clinched at least a share of their first Big East regular season title in a decade after beating DePaul on Saturday, 90-84. But as player Tyler Kolick put it, we don't want to share, talking about the Big East title. And that's why they didn't cut down the nets in Milwaukee the other night. They want to wait and try to win the conference outright. Marquette came into the game ranked 10th in the nation. The new rankings will come out later today. Not bad for a team that was picked by all the Big East coaches to finish 9th out of the 11 teams in the conference. But in the conference right now, Marquette is 15 wins, only 3 losses. The Golden Eagles can clinch the championship outright by winning either tomorrow at Butler or on Saturday at home against St. John's. And going into the game tomorrow, the Golden Eagles will have won 9 of their last 10 games. It's a different story for the University of Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team. They still can't get it done for the full 40 minutes. On Sunday in Ann Arbor, they went from a 10-point deficit in the second half to a 3-point lead in the final minute, only to see Michigan tie the game, force overtime, and go on a 10-0 run in the extra period to beat the Badgers 87-79. The Badgers have 2 games left in the regular season, Thursday at home against Purdue and next Sunday at Minnesota. Then comes the Big Ten tournament, which at this point is looking like their only long shot path to the NCAA tournament. We, of course, had the Brewers begin spring training baseball over the weekend. It was nice to be able to hear that. There was some drama with the new Major League Baseball rules that went in force for this spring and for this season. Umpires are enforcing those rules rather aggressively, which is good to get the players used to what the new rules are going to be. And that's what led to the drama with the pitch clock. Picture, if you will, a game with the Boston Red Sox versus Atlanta on Saturday. Atlanta's Cal Conley is up to bat. The bases are loaded. 2 outs. Game on the line. But Conley had stepped out of the batter's box and didn't step back in time for the new pitch clock. The home plate umpire calls an automatic strike. Strike 3. Game over without a pitch being thrown. And that's because, again, the umps are drawing a hard line on calling these violations of these new rules to get pitchers, catchers, and batters used to the new pitch clock. It's designed to stop all the delays have become endless. Batters adjusting their gloves, pitchers staring in endlessly at the catcher, catchers calling time repeatedly to go out to the mound and freeze the batter, and so on. So there's this new pitch clock. Pitchers have 20 seconds to throw the next pitch if there's a runner on base. 15 seconds if the bases are empty. In return, the batter has to be back in the batter's box and set by the time the clock reaches 8 seconds. And there's only 30 seconds between plays. So hopefully we don't run into this, you know, nearly 4-hour game time that seems to have become endemic to Major League Baseball. So what do you think? Do you think it's going to be good for the game? Is it good for the fans and good for TV ratings? Should games not be decided by a clock violation? I know some people have said, look, we should turn off the clock in the 9th inning, you know, when the game is on the line. But as far as I'm concerned, the game is always on the line. The whole point is to score at any given point or stop the other team from scoring. So if you're adopting a rule like a pitch clock, it's either for the good of the game or it's not. You know, football has delay of game calls throughout the whole game. They don't get rid of that late in the game. Basketball games have a shot clock throughout the whole game. And so while we have this first incident of the game ending on a pitch clock violation by the batter, it won't be the last one. It's simply to get us used to what's going to come. Maybe at the end of the season, people will say it was not a good experiment. Maybe other people will say that it's practically saving the game of baseball as it's speeding things up. So we'll certainly, now we know what it's going to look like. And I think batters and pitchers should really consider themselves warned by now. Badger women's hockey, we haven't talked about them. They are in the WCHA quarterfinal series, and they won on Saturday over Minnesota State 4-1. And that takes them to a spot in the WCHA final faceoff. And that will be next Friday in Minneapolis, where the Badgers will take on fourth-ranked Minnesota. So a very busy weekend in sports that way. We will certainly continue to look at what's happening with the Bucks winning streak and other things that are going on around us. A reminder that there are many ways to listen to us, many ways to watch what we do. You can watch Up North News Radio online through Facebook. Go to the Up North News Facebook page or the Facebook page of Bull Falls Radio. Either way, we would love to have you along watching or listening on your favorite Civic Media radio station. You can go to that anytime and go to civicmedia.us. Find the station near you. We're growing all the time. Or you can subscribe as a podcast, either there from the Civic Media website or any place where you get your usual podcasts. We take every hour and we turn that into a podcast episode for you. As far as Up North News, the organization that I work for, which is a separate entity from Civic Media, we cover everything over at upnorthnewswi.com. And you can reach the show by sending an email to radio@upnorthnewswi.com. We'd love to have you along every day, however you are able to listen to us. So a reminder that coming up this morning, we are scheduled to talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly coming up after our first commercial break here. And then about an hour from now, we'll be talking to Nicole Slavin and Kate Duffy of Motherhood for Good. They are going to tell us what parents need to know about school board elections. These school board elections, much like the state Supreme Court race, are as important as ever before, because there are candidates for Supreme Court and school board who could frankly continue a lot of work from the wrecking crew that has been in power for far too long in this state and parts of this country. We'll talk more about that throughout the morning. First, let's take a break and welcome in Dr. Lyerly next. This is Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
We decided to call an audible here. Kristen had been getting the same walk-up music for a couple of weeks here, and we decided she needed something else to boost our spirits for the morning. Dr. Lyerly joins us from an undisclosed location in rural southwestern Minnesota. Oh, wait, I disclosed too much. How are you?
Good morning. I'm so good. Happy Monday.
There we go. You again are out in the hinterlands as we need so badly out there because these rural health facilities are having the damnedest time finding people, Kristen. And I don't want to start on too heavy a note, but since we're introducing what you were up to this weekend, I mean, I sent you an article published to the New York Times last night about the number of rural hospitals that have stopped delivering babies.
Yeah, it is a crisis. In Wisconsin, we've lost half of our rural obstetrical units in the last 20 years, and the forecast doesn't look good. They're not making money. They can't afford staff. The staff's not there. This is bad, Pat.
Yeah. And it's not, it's staff too. It's not just OBGYNs, which, I mean, that's a whole different setup in states like Wisconsin with abortion bans. But I mean, just the healthcare profession overall, it's not pretty out there.
No, nurses, it's nurses, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we can figure out the doctor thing, we throw things together, but the nurses are really the giant problem. And man, I was really loving some amazing nurses last night at 1 o'clock in the morning when I was delivering a baby. Oh, it feels so good to bring life into the world. I love my job.
We need more of that, because from 2015 to 2019, according to the New York Times here, there were about 90 obstetric unit closures in rural hospitals across the country. And as you said, by 2020, about half of rural community hospitals did not provide obstetrics care. And we already know that women in rural areas face a higher risk of pregnancy-related complications than those living in so-called maternity care deserts, are three times as likely to die during pregnancy or the critical year afterward. And then I think we were just reestablishing our internet. We were just establishing our internet connection once again here. Are you hearing me all right, Kristen?
Yeah, it's not just hospitals. It's broadband too, Pat.
Yeah, it's also well, you know what? We're talking about that tomorrow with Hans Breitenmoser. It'll be our first mm-hmm. visit with him since Governor Evers' budget address. And we're going to talk about all the things in the state budget that impact rural Wisconsin. And yeah, broadband's among them.
And you said, and I just want to say exactly what you said a minute ago, women who live in these maternity care deserts, and we have them all across the upper Midwest, are three times more likely to die related to their pregnancy because of where they live.
And it shouldn't be that way. Again, in the United States, depending on, you know, your health shouldn't depend on your zip code. And your health also shouldn't depend on which party is controlling the politics in your state. You know, that's not right. And all Americans deserve to have, you know, good access to infrastructure and healthcare. And even if they don't have it at the moment, they deserve public leaders who are willing to try to fight for that, to try to provide the right resources to their area. But really, it comes down to, do we treat all Americans equally? And as I mentioned mm-hmm. at the top of the hour, we're going to have an interview that you and I and Kirk Bankstead did last week with Jim Obergefell, of the Obergefell v. Hodges decision that legalized same-sex marriage, where, again, we heard from a gentleman who all he wanted was, before his partner died, you know, of a terminal illness, was for them to be able to marry and have their relationship recognized and respected. And that is not too much to ask.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And it's not just that. Can I just do a quick preview for Hometown Health? Because we are going to be talking about the period tax. So in Wisconsin, in 22 states, actually, menstrual products are taxed. And that's a tax against women. So when I have my period, I am paying the state of Wisconsin just because I'm a woman. And that's unfair. So this is another disparity that we really need to resolve. And it's easy to resolve when you've got the right leaders in the right places.
And it's not just periods, the so-called pink tax for all kinds of products that are marketed toward women, you know, maybe deodorant or razor blades or whatever. Oftentimes the same product, you know, but just packaged differently, costs more for women than it does for men. It's kind of insane.
Yeah. We're used to it, but you know, we're persistent, so we're just going to keep up the good fight.
Okay. I said we were going to do a little entertainment news update as well. Now, I didn't watch the SAG Awards, the Screen Actors Guild. I'm willing to bet you didn't. I'm also willing to bet pretty much very few people did outside the industry, because it wasn't on TV. It was streamed. It was streamed over a YouTube channel. But the reason we bring it up is that the SAG Awards oftentimes correspond to the Academy Awards. Last year, they corresponded exactly. Every SAG Award winner won the Oscar. So I was just pulling up, you know, what they had yesterday or last night. And again, it's about the movie Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Have you seen it? No, have you?
Oh, yes. My kids love it. They raved about it. And then I watched it. It's very unusual, but it's very interesting.
This is definitely, I get the impression, a love it or hate it movie, because I've also heard from movie critics who their review was along the lines of, what the hell is this? It was just, there's so much thrown at you. And it's, you know, again, either it's a terrific or a jumbled mess, depending on your point of view, I guess. And how
There are some moments in there that I was doing a little head scratching that my kids thought were hilarious, and I won't mention what they are. Watch it for yourself. You'll know. But yeah, it's a lot. but the acting is fantastic. The production, it's just a real quality film.
Well, obviously now we have time to watch it before the Academy Awards. I don't know how long that is. God knows there's been enough Oscars promos out there with Jimmy Kimmel. You'd think I'd remember the date at this point.
March 10th, maybe?
I don't know. So we'll find out. Also over the weekend, the NAACP Image Awards, Angela Bassett won for Entertainer of the Year. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever won for Best Motion Picture. Viola Davis won Outstanding Actress for the action epic, The Woman King. And Will Smith won for the slavery drama, Emancipation. So there's a little...
Really?
Yeah. Did you see Emancipation? Or is that...
I hated Emancipation.
Okay.
Sorry to be so bold.
No, we reward boldness here. With, you know, if it's an informed opinion. Now, if you said, "Oh, it's garbage just because it's Will Smith," I mean, while we'd understand, that's not nearly as valid as you watched the movie and did not like it.
I watched the movie and did not like it. It just missed the mark. Like, I love that era and I love that information. I think it's so important, and I wanted to love that movie, and it was just. Not there for me.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
March 12th
on the Oscars. Okay. That makes sense. All right. Thank you so much. It was a sister's weekend out here, and not my sister's, but my wife and her sisters get together here every year. And so I have to go to husband daycare or the husband kennel, whatever it is, also known as my mom's place. But before I go, I always have to, you know, prepare one of the meals for them. And this year it was a lasagna. And I'm not gonna lie, Kristen, I make a really good lasagna. I'm telling you. Next time,
I'm feeling very Monday right now, very Garfield and lasagna. And
well, it's funny that you mentioned that, and I don't have it. I didn't take it with me. But speaking of Garfield, my mom is she. Like I think a lot of our parents, they have a lot of stuff that's been in their home, or in her case, townhome, for a very long time. And my mom does not use coffee mugs. She likes something that's more like Starbucksy or something a little taller and skinnier. So I like coffee mugs, but there weren't any right in the front of the cupboard. But I could see way in the back. I could dig around. I had to pull a bunch of other glasses out just to get to them. And I kind of wish I'd have brought it if I'd have known we were going to be talking about Garfield. From 1980, a McDonald's giveaway was a glass coffee mug with a Garfield cartoon on it, with Garfield and Odie and everybody else on there. Back when, for Happy Meals, you got like real toys. You got like real prizes, not these little things you can practically choke on these days. But
I remember the Smurf glasses at Hardee's. Mm-hmm. Oh, those were the best.
It blows young people away, my kids especially, when I show them what Happy Meal toys and other things like that used to look like. I mean, full-size toys. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time. Now, it was actually one of the, when Samantha, our oldest one, was a baby, was when the first Happy Meal came out, and it was like some Muppet baby, you know, plush toys. And so we got one of them, and, you know, she played with it. Actually, there's nothing left of the eyeball, because when she was teething, you know, the eyeball made a good thing to chew on. So there's no pupil left in there. So Kermit looks a little demented, but I showed that, you know, to her many years later, and she was rather blown away that's what they used to do once upon a time. So it's like Tonka toys. When we were growing up, mm-hmm. you know, Tonka toys were these great big trucks made out of steel. I mean, you were going to get a concussion or tetanus if something went wrong with it. And then they became smaller and, you know, more plasticky and things. I see they're bringing some of the big ones back. In fact, to the point that my grandson, who's three, and his little sister, who's about 10 months old, we saw a video on Snapchat this weekend of him pushing her on one of these big toys, which I thought was quite a moment of trust for my younger daughter, for letting the 3-year-old push the nearly 1-year-old on in a toy all by himself. There was no concussion, which was fine. But I told her maybe a helmet wouldn't be a bad idea, and then put a GoPro on the helmet, so at least we get some entertainment out of this thing, you know.
That's so cute. What a neat little moment for them. Oh, and how practical.
Yes, very much so. And it's where I'm really thankful for things like Snapchat, you know, and Facebook Messenger and all those things. I mean, we get all these videos and photos now of grandkids and nieces and nephews and, you know, even the ones that you know, we send. Like, for example, being at with my mom over the weekend, she loves to play games. And so she loves Scrabble. But she doesn't just have a Scrabble game. She has what's called Super Scrabble. It is a much larger board, many more tiles. You cannot play that game in under 3 hours. It is a long Scrabble game. But we played that, and I won that, and I won 2 rounds of Rummy Cube. But the game that means the most to her, and you know I've talked about how much Sherry and I play cribbage all the time. And, of course, she's the one who taught me. So when she kicked my butt in cribbage, you know, on Saturday night, that was a big, big victory for her. And of course, through Snapchat, I got to share that with, you know, the whole extended family. And they were, you know, raving at Grandma Joni's big success as a card player. So it's all those ways that we get to be together. Look at you. You get to be on a radio show when you're hundreds of miles away from where you normally are.
Isn't it nice? Although I'm not going to lie, I would love to be sleeping right now. Wouldn't we all?
Well, especially if you're delivering babies at 1 o'clock in the morning. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm rather familiar with that. But you know, all in all, I think it worked out to be a good sister's weekend, a good weekend for, you know, wayward husbands and for doc and for docs who are serving in other areas. I think that's awfully nice of you. You know what? You can get in on our early look at the question of the week here, because we're going to play the Uplift with Christina Laurie a little later on. And she talks about how it's Girl Scout cookie time. And she asks, if you could create any new flavor of Girl Scout cookie, which would it be? And then I added to it, you know, as a lead in, what is the best Girl Scout cookie right now? And to me, it's those coconut ones. They're either Caramel Delights, but they used to be called Samoas. We'll ask Christina about the names on there. I mean, come on. I can eat an entire sleeve of those. Are you more of a Thin Mint person, or where are you?
I love the Caramel Delights as well, and Thin Mints would be a second. But honestly, whatever Girl Scout cookie I can stuff into my mouth, I'm going to eat. I love them all.
Good. if you could create a flavor that doesn't exist right now, what would you do?
Well, that's one of those things that now I'm going to be thinking about that all day, because I can't give you a reflexive answer there.
Well, here's one that I've been thinking about it over the weekend. I didn't have a great answer the first time Christina asked me about this, but how about French toast? A French toast Girl Scout cookie. You know, got a little hint of cinnamon, a little maple syrupy flavor in there. Could go with that.
For our radio listeners, if you could see the satisfied look on Pat's face right now as he's pondering French toast Girl Scout cookies.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be thinking about this some more. Let's do some let's do a music break and do this day in history coming up next. You're up north. Number one song this day in 1961 was Pony Time by Chubby Checker, and was the number one song for 5 weeks. I try to plug into songs from before I was born. I got to tell you, Pony Time was not in my, not on my playlist here.
I have never heard of Pony Time ever.
No, nope. Same.
But
here.
I have heard of Chubby Checker. Yeah. Come on, baby. You know it. Let's do the twist. It's Monday.
And. Woo! I think he made the charts 2 or 3 times with the twist. And then, of course, the peppermint twist, which was not exactly a subtle, you know, re-rack of the twist. But hey,
a sequel.
Whatever works, baby. On this day in 1960 on American Bandstand, the Miracles made their first TV appearance, you know, by Smokey Robinson and friends. On this day in 1971, Pearl by Janis Joplin started its 9-week run as the number one album in the U.S., but she did not get to see that, having died of a heroin overdose 3 months before the album was released. On this day in 1980, Michael Jackson won his first Grammy for Best R&B Performance. Oh. That, of course, would be Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, which we'll let play underneath while we tell you that Neil Schon is 69 today. After spending time as a guitarist in Santana, he went on to found the bands Bad English and Journey. Josh Groban is 42. Where are you on Josh Groban, Kristen?
I think he's funny. I'm not a giant fan of his music, but I appreciate his talent.
There you go. Okay. History notes on this day in 1844, the Dominican Republic gained its independence from Haiti. And in 1922 on this day, a challenge to the 19th Amendment allowing women the right to vote is rebuffed by the Supreme Court. In the case, it says here, of Lesser v. Garnett, I believe it was Lesser and the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty versus Garnett. But I could be wrong, but it's possible that Will was part of a challenge to allowing women to vote. We'll see. I'll check the records to be sure.
These themes.
We have played Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You multiple times already, but she's on the mark here again. So instead, we're going to play the song that she deposed as in the record books. Whitney Houston on this day in 1993 broke the record for the longest run at number one on the singles chart. 14 straight weeks at number one. Oh, it's not that she bumped off her record. Her record was eclipsed 2 years later by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men with this one. And that, of course, would be One Sweet Day. So that was 1995 when that broke Whitney Houston's record for longest number one run on the charts. And finally, Leonard Nimoy. Mr. Spock from the Star Trek series passed away on this day in 2015 at the age of 83. He was also a musical artist. Kristen, you may not know this. He released music both as himself and as Mr. Spock and saw some modest success on the charts. One of Aaron's favorites is The Ballad of Bilbo Baggins. Charles is
a brave little hobbit whom we all admire with his long wooden pipe. Fuzzy woolly toes. He lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows him. Bilbo. Bilbo.
Wow.
Baggins, he's only
okay.
I love it.
Aaron says it's a favorite.
It's cheerful.
It's something.
In that like weird cheerful kind of way.
Yeah. No kidding. All right. Well, that was a little fun music and history break here. But let's take these next 5 minutes because we haven't been able to talk about it yet. So I'm just going to have you join in with me on this. And we're going to talk about Dilbert creator Scott Adams and the racist rant that he went on to, which is why you're not going to see Dilbert in newspapers anymore. And I think to get into it, I'll just share my social media post about it, about Scott Adams, you know, whining about losing all of his, syndication for his strips because he went on such a racist rant. And what I said to folks was, you know, racists don't normally introduce themselves as racists. There's usually no formal announcement. They deny it. They reject it and they lash out. But it's their words and their deeds that reveal that they were not mislabeled. They did, in fact, introduce themselves. And interestingly enough, they introduced themselves through a phrase they like to contort, through the content of their character. And that's exactly what Scott Adams showed in words that are just so ugly. I am very hesitant to share them, other than saying he called, Black Americans a hate group and said white people should, quote, get the hell away from them. And on he goes. And for those folks that would say this is, some violation of the First Amendment, no, it's not. There's no government infringing on his freedom of speech. In fact, he's showing exactly how people can exercise freedom of speech. And he's learning that freedoms can be exercised, but they also can have consequences. You have the right to speak, but you also have the personal discretion to keep something to yourself. You know, it's not just people under arrest who have the right to remain silent. We can all choose not to overshare. And Kristen, here's a clip from comedian Ron White that sums it all up. And in his case, after he'd had a few drinks.
At that point, I had the right to remain silent, but I didn't have the ability.
And that is Kristen, where we find Scott Adams. In the internet age, you feel like you can share anything and there will always be somebody to agree with you. But he's also finding out that, you know, you get ugly enough and enough people don't agree with you, there are consequences.
Hey, I haven't seen the YouTube video, but this just doesn't make any sense at all to me. I mean, you're exactly right. Why? I don't understand why people feel that they need to put this ugliness out in the world.
No. And look, for him, this is the ultimate case of, and you and I, we've been here a million times, somebody saying those words to you, I'm not a racist, but, and then they go on to say something that doesn't reflect well on the way that they opened it up. And it makes for some very awkward moments, shall we say, in these conversations. But again, you can spout off any way that you like to. And I, Scott Adams is not the first white guy I've seen who, as he advances past middle age and closes in on being a cranky old man, takes views that are more and more extreme. And Scott Adams has had extreme views for quite some time. He has really morphed into something so unlike what he appeared to be when he first came on the scene. And we've seen this in individuals, Christian, you and I both have, and it's unfortunate, but at some point you either need to call it out or, you know, just let that person go from your life.
Well, and I think that we need to see more calling it out. I think publicly, and I'm not talking about shaming or attacking, but just shining a light on some of these things that people are putting out there that are misinformation, fear mongering, just all of that ugliness. Those of us who stand up and say, we're not going to take this anymore, that's how we build that community and that momentum to fight back against it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, Kristen. I appreciate that so much. We're going to take a break for news. And again, a reminder that in our next hour, Motherhood Monday, the folks from Motherhood for Good will come talk about the importance of school board elections. I know Kristen has been telling me about the importance of them as well. And so we'll underscore that very much coming up in the next hour here on Up North News Radio for a Monday.